I live a practice life. And people look at me and say, what in the world are you talking about? You know, I wasn't always like this. Practice is what got me here. Okay. You know, every single day, waking up, understanding, I call it ingredients, what I'm taking into my mind.
Hello, and thank you for joining us today on the Gentle Art of Crushing It show, where we focus on learning and sharing with our listeners all there is to know about how to create success in our lives. This show stands on the shoulders of giants. Our mission is to empower and inspire our listeners to create the life of their dreams whilst having a blast in the process. Let's celebrate life together. Welcome to the show.
Well, hello and welcome to today's episode of the Gentle Art of Crushing It podcast. My name is still Derek Felch, and I am a real estate investor who focuses mainly on single-family homes and short-term rentals. In addition, I work with a team who manages short and mid-term rentals around the country. Now, if you're new to this podcast, I'm also one of several hosts who bring you conversations three times every week. We cover a variety of topics around real estate, business, and personal development, and a new episode is going to release every Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday. The purpose in our podcast endeavor is to help others succeed in whatever target they're aiming at. And each of us is committed to finding the best and brightest people we can share their stories and lessons they've learned with you so far on their journey. And let's be honest, there's a ton of podcasts to choose from, and we appreciate you checking ours out. Today's episode features an incredible guy that I met earlier this year. He's known around the country simply as Lenny the Boss. He's an entrepreneur, he's an investor, but more importantly, I think he's a great guy who is definitely committed to helping others. And he's someone who, when you meet him, you just want to spend more and more time with him. We spend a lot of time today talking about mindset, the importance of it, and how to continue to build on it like a muscle and continue to practice improving your mindset. I really hope you enjoy the chat, and I hope you find value in it. And with that, let's bring in Lenny. Welcome, Lenny. I appreciate you being here. Can we talk about mindset? You and I were having a chat right before we hit record, which kind of wish I'd hit record about 60 seconds earlier. But I mean, how has mindset developed in your life? Like, have you always been the upbeat, positive guy, or is it been a process for you to kind of learn how to improve mindset?
You know what, man? Mindset is huge. And mindset is, in my book, everything. That's first. And so you asked the questions. I'm going to take it back to the humbling days here, all right? Okay. So for me, you know, I was raised by my mother. My mother had 10 children. I have 9 brothers and sisters, man. My mother had 10 children, raised in North Philadelphia in a 3-bedroom, 1-bath row home, all right? A single family house, just my mother. Unfortunately, my father was on drugs. So we were poor. You know, we were in a really bad neighborhood as I think about it, right? But, yep. You know, yep. When you're there, you know, that's where you live. And so for me, you know, when you in those type of circumstances, no one that I was aware of even talked about mindset. All right. The mindset was really come out today and survive. That was really the mindset. However, my mother did something to us, and we were financially poor, but we was rich in love. And I believe that love is what carried us through, you know, carried me through to a point to get myself around different people. And that's when this personal development thing started to hit. I didn't know what it was. I really wasn't, you know, into it. But as you get exposed to these things, it started to be very intriguing to me. And I found myself doing little things, not knowing that that was helping my mindset out. You know what I mean? Yeah. And, you know, so you start to dig in, man, and personal development came in and I started to figure out that accountability, you know, is everything. You know, if you hold yourself accountable, then it will stop you from being mad at others, right? You know, because we're quick to point the finger. You know, it also put you in a mind frame of I'm going to get this done. And when I say I'm going to get this done, that doesn't mean you physically have to do it yourself, but you could be the controller of making sure that that package moves from A to B. You don't have to physically be the one that moves it, but you could be the one that physically move it, or you could be the shot caller to get it moved. But you took accountability to ensure that whatever needed to get done got done. And that's just really was the opening for me and mindset. And I just started to just dig in. And obviously you read all these fantastic books and you listen to these fantastic people like Jim Rohn. I love that guy. Like Tony Robbins, right? I love that guy, you know, and all the positive things that, you know, they have to say and all the things that you can do to sit here and put yourself in the right light. I'm going to leave and stop here. But the one thing I tell people is that I live a practice life. And people look at me and say, what in the world are you talking about? I tell them, hey, for people who just recently met me, you know, I wasn't always like this. Practice is what got me here. Okay. You know, every single day, waking up, understanding, I call it ingredients, what I'm taking into my mind. What am I reading? What am I watching on TV? Is it the news or is it something that's going to uplift me or going to give me what I need today to sit here and ensure that I'm able to get through the day in a positive manner and in a manner of getting things done at the end of the day, a productive manner? You know, what are those ingredients? What about the people you're hanging around? The text messages you get in the morning, are they grumpy text messages? Hey, I'm on a text string with some other successful entrepreneurs. And one of the things we do is we race to see who's going to say great morning. We don't even say good morning. We say great morning. We race to see who's going to get. So I get texts at 5 a.m., 4:30, you know, a.m. in the morning. The first thing I'm reading is someone saying, great morning. Have a fantastic day. You know how that makes you feel? You know what I mean? Versus you around Chatty Patty and Chatty want to sit here and throw a pity party on what's going on in their lives. And you as a friend, you think that you're supposed to be there and listen. And I start to cut loose on all the individuals that wasn't providing value to me so I can be reciprocal and provide that value back, you know, and that's a hard thing, but I live a practice life. I wake up every day and I practice to be this way. Not that I don't live a light switch life. I don't cut it on and say, boom, here I am, right? Ta-da. No, yeah. It's a practice life. I practice every day.
When did you start practicing? Like, was this ingrained in you as a child? Was there a mentor? Was there someone that, I know you mentioned your mom. Were there other people or was it something you kind of struck upon yourself in as you grew up?
You know, that's a great question. And I'm going to sit here and say, as a youngster, there was no one around. Right. There was no one around. You know, I mean, the schools I went to, you know, I mean, this public schools and, you know, I enjoyed them, but when I sit back and I really think about it, you know, there were some teachers that just had to pay a lot of attention to other students that was probably more interrupting the class than pouring into the students that they really could pour into to get there. So as a youngster, I'm going to say no, but as I continued to get older, I wanted more, you know, I wanted more for myself. You know, I wanted to get out of my environment. I wanted to see more of the world. You know, and, you know, looking at TV, seeing, you know, marketing islands and watching movies and seeing people sitting back drinking a Mai Tai on the beach. I'm like, I need to be that, you know, even looking at like some hip hop artists. Cause I was big at the time on hip hop, like, man, you know, I want to be that, you know, in my way. So I had to go about it in my way. You know, I went to school and I got a job, you know, when I went to school. So I had this thing I called the vampire syndrome. I didn't have to sleep much. So I went to school full time. And I also went to work full time. So I worked, you know, all during the day. And then I went to school at night, you know, so I was out the house by like 7 a.m. I probably wasn't getting back into the house roughly about 11:30 to 12 o'clock. Come home, do your homework and stuff, study, take a 2 hour sleep and boom, back at it. Right. You know, so that was my life. But when I got the job, and it was a small organization at the time, it was roughly about 8 people, I believe, 8 to 9 people. And that's where, you know, I start talking to different people. And obviously they have a different walk of life than me. So they shared, you know, just a lot of things, not really more on personal development, but on just their walk of life. And their walk of life was intriguing. And what I believe, some people may agree, some people may not. I believe that when you start to want something, then it starts to come. And, you know, people start coming. And when people start coming, you know, people would talk and they'd be like, yeah, you know, like good Jim Rohn to say, blah, blah, blah. And I'm, well, who in the crap is Jim Rohn? Oh, you don't know who Jim Rohn is? Google him, blah, blah, blah. Listen. And then, you know, that's the way that I started, you know, that. And I start putting myself around people that were thinking that way. And what they would do now is they would sit there and suggest, hey, have you read, you know, this book? I'm like, no, cool. Let me go get the book audio. He said, get the audio or get the hard copy, whatever works for you. You know, I started doing that. And that's when, you know, I started listening to it. You know, there were times I had to pull over in the car, listen to the audio book. And I'm like, this is good. I can't even drive. I got to take notes, you know, because I found it that intriguing to me. And I wanted to start to implement these things into my life, you know, and that's kind of how it came about.
That's really interesting. What would you say to somebody who might be listening to this that, I mean, I feel like we're not too far apart in age, although I look much, much older than you. I mean, what if you've been, you know, you're in your 30s, 40s, you've kind of been an average life. Like how do you begin to change those habits into becoming more, I mean, how do you change who you're around? What would you say to someone in that situation who maybe hasn't hit the ground running since their teens or 20s and, but has this desire inside that wants to do something? You know what I mean?
Totally understand. And I just grabbed something because I know there's going to be people who's watching this and there's going to be people who's listening to this, but right. There's two things that make you a badass person, man. Two things, all right? And there's a pen. I'm holding up a pen right now. This is one of them. A pen, a pencil, some type of writing utensil, and a pad, okay? You know, yeah. Some type of piece of paper that you can sit here and take this pen and write it on. Let me tell you what I tell people, because I have a mindset class. I teach this. And the first thing I tell people is get a pen, get a pad, and write down 100 things that you want. I call it a brain dump. Everything. Don't hold back. The only request I have is be as specific as possible on what you want. Everything from, hey, I want a Mercedes-Benz 550 red outside, black interior, right? You know, I want a 4-bedroom house. I want a pool in it. I want a 2-car garage, you know. That's how specific I want you to be. Everything. I don't care what it is. Get it all out, right? Everything. Where you want to go. What you want to do. Get down to 100. Now, truth be told, is a lot of people don't get to 100. Okay? Oh. Some people get to 50. Some people get to 70. Some people get to 60, which all of those numbers are okay. What you did was you transferred was up here down to something that was tangible that you can see. And out of that 60, out of that 70, out of that 100 list, right, there's at least 5 meaningful things that mean something that's probably not materialistic that's on your list. That's where you start, my friend.
Okay.
with those 5 things, right? Because now you have an aim, right? You have an aim. You know, and with that aim, you can start to brainstorm on things you need to do to get there.
And you said normally you find those are not material things. They're not the Mercedes 550. They're more purpose driven.
Well,
would you say, or
they should be. And that's where I come in. I usually help, you know, when you have, because you remember you have 70 things on this list.
Right.
So I'm pretty sure a large amount of them is I want to be on an island, right? I want the Mercedes-Benz, you know, But there are also some things that you want that mean something. Like you might want to spend more time with your family, you know, because maybe you're working, you know, 12-hour days. And when you come home, you beat. You can't sit here and play ball with your five-year-old, which got more energy than anybody can, right. can think of.
Right.
You know, and those are the meaningful things that gets on that list. Because okay. remember, to get to 100 things, that's a lot you got to think about.
Right.
You know, but I don't want you to hold back. I just want you to write. Just write whatever you think about. And sometimes I tell them, do it over 3 to 4 days. Do it over the week time. Once you think of something, you're driving, and you think of something, write it down. That moment. Mm. Now you had 26. Now that makes 27, right?
Right.
You know, you might be talking to you, Derek, and Derek, you might say something that sparks something in their mind. Guess what? Write that down. Now you're 28. Okay. You know, so you get the accumulation that way. And then when you take a look at this list, you have to sit here and say, what are the, just like you do anything, what are the most important things that I want to accomplish first? You know, what are the things that's going to be a snowball effect? Example being, you want the Mercedes 550 Benz, which is probably $120,000 car. Well, you need to open up the business to make the money to pay for the Benz. So that automatically get checked off once you sit here and open up the business and start getting the revenue. You know what I mean? And once that revenue comes, then a whole bunch of things get checked off, all because you aimed at this one thing. So one thing can really tackle about 15 other things on your list.
Hmm. You understand? That's, no, and, I agree.
And that's where I help to figure out what is that one thing, those, so we could prioritize it. That is what you need to bust your ass on to sit there and get that where it needs to be so it can knock out another 15 to 20 things on your list.
Hmm. That's really good. So what are you working on now that you're most excited about? I watch you on Instagram because you're very good at it. And I see you involved in some different, well, like what are you passionate about right now? What are you excited about that you're getting to do?
I'm happy you asked that question and thank you for asking. So, you know, one of my passions, I tell people this, look, God bless me with a gift. And I believe that anyone that comes in my path communicates with me, they should leave me with a combination of the three, one of the three, or all of the three. They should leave me educated, inspired, or motivated. All right. And the reason why I say that is because that's the gift that God gives me. So the one thing that I'm passionate about right now, which I just opened up, is something called the Kids Real Estate and Financial Literacy Academy.
I saw that.
And thank you. And I'm super passionate about it because, you know, earlier we just was talking and I was telling you about, as a youngster, I just wasn't around people, wasn't aware of things, didn't know about credit, didn't know how to leverage credit, didn't know the difference between assets, liabilities, didn't know how to write, the correct goals, right? Mm. You know, didn't know anything about real estate, didn't know anything, but more importantly about mindset. And I bundled all that together. And that's when I'm teaching these kids, you know, I'm teaching these kids anywhere from middle schoolers to high schoolers to college kids to make them aware of, you know, how you invest into real estate. I'm huge on mindset. And I have this big thing that I go through with them with mindset. You know, what's the difference between assets and liabilities? Because that's a problem. That's a United States problem, right? You know,
and that, agree. Just, yep.
And that just get filtered down to us, right? You know, credit, once again, a United States problem. You know, well, what's the good debt versus bad debt? You know, using your credit to sit here and buy a course that's going to sit here and educate you to do something positive versus buying, you know, a t-shirt and some sneakers to go out to the concert. You understand? You know, what's the difference? And also, you know, as you're growing up, credit is not taught in schools, your traditional school systems. So when you get this credit card, you really don't know too much about it. You don't know how it works. What's the credit score? You don't know that you got to pay it back, right? You know, yep. That's big. You know, that's the reason why so many people got credit issues, because they yep. didn't know you had to pay it back. And I'm teaching all these things at a younger age and how to write smart goals. And some of the parents might get upset with me because I let these kids write whatever goals they want to write, because what I'm doing is establishing a habit. And as long as you know how to write a smart goal, your goals, the actual goals, are going to change as you mature. Look, when you were 20, your goals were not the same than when you were 30, correct? Right. When you were 30, your goals are not the same when you were 40. But if you didn't know how to write them and follow them and see them through, then that's the problem. Not what's on it. You understand? You know, so because what's on it can change. But the habit of understanding how to get from A to Z, that's where you win. And I packaged all that together along with a few other things I teach into this kids' real estate and financial literacy classes. And I'm really, really, really enjoying it.
That's awesome. So I saw some of the pictures. So is it middle-aged kids? Are they like excited to learn about real estate? And I saw one of your options, I think, was like how to analyze real estate and stuff like that. Is it like, I try to talk to my children who are not in middle school, they're older, but I feel like the glaze comes over their eyes and like, oh, dad. And I mean, have you found the reception to be good with them? I mean, are they excited about this stuff?
Let me see how it starts. It's funny that you say that. And this was kind of like the passion of why I did it, for two reasons. Yeah. One, you know, I have a kid. He's 11 right now. And, you know, he sees me every day. He hears me every day. Right. He hears me on my coaching calls when I'm teaching real estate. He hears me on my mindset calls when I'm teaching mindset. I'm also a bag of affirmations. I'm always saying them. He's over it. Like, I can't get through I can't get through him for anything. Yeah. So I said, well, what can I do to get through him? So, you know, I'm a strong believer in God. So I wrote a note on my vision board. I'm looking at it here for the listeners that can't watch this. I wrote a note. I said, Lord, should I teach the kids real estate? Right. Hmm. And what I did was one day I was driving to the bank and I had a bunch of money orders that I got from a few of my tenants. I asked my son in the passenger seat to add them up for me so I don't have to do that. I get to the bank. I can say, hey, here's XYZ, deposit, bada boom, bada bang. When he was adding it up, I took a picture of him, right? And I just put it online. I said, hey, you know, just want to let anybody know, whatever business you have, real estate or any endeavor that you're in, try your best to get your kids involved with doing anything. Look, I have my son here, you know, adding up some money orders, you know. Not sure what this going to lead to, but it's something. Right. Next thing I know, my inbox blows up and all these people, like, I would love for my kid to learn real estate. And to me, that's the Lord answering the question of saying, should I teach him? Yes. So that's kind of how this thing came about. So you ask, are they enthused about it? I'm going to sit here and say, when they first come in, you know, they're going to sit there, and I'm pretty sure that they're not. They rather, it's a Saturday. What would you rather be doing at 11 and 12 and 13? Believe me, being in the class with me for 2.5 hours is not one of them. Okay. However, this is where I'm gonna give myself some credit. I put together a really fantastic curriculum that is high energy, super interactive, and fun. So now I took something that, look, I'm gonna be honest. The very first time I did this, I took the hardest thing first, which was mindset. I took a class of 9, 10, and 11-year-olds. And I taught them for 2.5 hours, I repeat, 2.5 hours mindset. Listen, I can't even, there's not too many adults that sit through 20 minutes of mindset. Yep. 2.5 hours. You know, I put some blood, sweat, and tears into this content. And when I was done, I budgeted for 5 minutes of just kind of Q&A, because I'm like, it's mindset. These kids can care less. I almost shedded a Denzel Washington tear. My 5 minutes lasted for, I think, 20 to 30 minutes.
Wow.
Because the kids couldn't stop reciting everything that I was teaching in that entire class. And I was like, wow. From that point on, I knew all my other classes were going to be easy because the hardest part is sitting through mindset. Yep. That's the most boring part. Yep. And if I could kill it here, then this is going to be a breeze, right? Yep. So, and that's what it is. So I give myself some kudos, all right? I'm going to give myself some kudos of saying the content that I put together, making it very fun and making it very interactive, you know. So with that being said, they leave. I mean, I got one message. Can I share this one message with you?
Oh, please do. Mind? Yeah, no, go ahead.
So let me find it really quick. I got this one message from a parent, okay? And this is what she said. One of her kids said, well, she got twins, right? I thought that this really touched my heart. And this is the reason why I enjoy, you know, doing what I do because of messages like this. I mean, this came from, I believe they're 9, you know? And you know, when I get to it, I wish I was prepared for it, but when I do get to it, I can sit here and share this with you because I'm gonna tell you, man, this, like I said, this really, really, really touched my heart. And I was like, wow, I really have to now, you know, like really do this. I gotta really bring energy. I can't sit here and, you know, be any less. I gotta be strong. I have to, you know, bring it, you know, so I just ask God for, you know, the energy, you know, to sit there and do it. And and I'm gonna tell you two in that, cause I do 4 classes, right? Yeah. So every session is 4 classes, right? And it covers all the things that I just mentioned to you. And each class, I might add, is 2.5 hours. Okay. Each class. All right. Now this is what you see. It says, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. The boys were so excited about tonight, telling me everything they can remember. They also said they are really excited about coming back next Saturday, right? Next Saturday. And then they said they wish their teachers were like, they call me Coach Lenny, because he makes learning so fun. They said that they wouldn't care if school was 9 to 10 hours a day if Coach Lenny was their teacher.
Wow, that's pretty cool. Well, I've been around you in person. I can see why they think that. So that's really cool. I was thinking while you were talking, you know, I work in the hotel business, and I'm going to try and formulate a question that maybe no one listening to this will relate to, but me, but it's my show, so I'll do that. So I work in the hotel business, and I work with a lot of what I would probably classify as working poor. And what I've noticed about people, and maybe you can understand what I mean, like I'm around people who I would say have lost hope. Does that make sense? Like not everyone loses hope, but there is a certain segment of people that just think this is it, and they've given up hope, maybe is a better way of saying it. How does somebody help? Like, how do you bring hope into a situation of people who maybe just because of how their upbringing and their, you know, generational now of poverty, things like that? Like, how do you bring hope into those situations with those people that maybe don't even know? Like, there's obviously people every now and then who just a spark is formed and they go with it on their own, but other people need that spark or light to come into that hopeless situation. Does that make sense? Is there a question in there?
Totally makes sense. Totally makes sense. You know, I look at things as confidence. And at the moment, their hope equals that their confidence is shot. You know, they don't have the confidence to be that other person. They don't have the confidence to be who they truly was supposed to be right now. You know, and they don't have the confidence that they believe that other people are lucky. They believe that other people's situations were better, you know, and it's a confidence issue, you know. And with that being said, that's where mindset and affirmations come in at the start. You have to convince yourself you are the greatest. You have to convince yourself that you are the best. You know, I have even on my son's wall, my son, before he leaves the house in the morning, he leaves the house around 6 a.m. to go to school. And he has to read 10 affirmations every day before he leaves. I read affirmations, right? You know, and by you reading these affirmations, you're sitting here telling yourself, you're saying, I am dot, 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 right? You sitting here telling yourself who you are. And like I said, when you start to do that and you start to move behind it, your confidence start to go up because now you start to attract people that's going to sit here and help build on the confidence. See, I guarantee you, if you get these individuals and I figure out who are the people you talk to 90% of the time, I guarantee it's probably like-minded people. Versus individuals whom pouring into themselves, you know. So I guess in the manner, I'm not sure if you asked, but in the manner of helping, I always start with affirmations, man. And I also start with this quote. I love this quote. All right. I'm going to read it to you. It's on my vision, but I'm going to read it to you. All right. It's my best quote in the world to me. There are two primary choices in life. Two. One, to accept the conditions as they exist, or two, accept the responsibility of changing them. I'm going to read this one more time. There's two primary choices in life. One, accept the conditions as they exist, or two, accept the responsibility of changing them. And now with that quote, you have a decision. You can even accept what you got going on today, or you can sit here and accept the responsibility of changing them and start doing things to change them. And it starts with convincing yourself who you really are and what you really want to do, and then starting to change your surroundings to get around other individuals that's thinking that way, so you can sit here and then have some hope and go from being hopeless to having hope.
What do affirmations look like for you? You've written your own and you read them out loud every day. Is that, for someone who's never done that before, how would someone start with affirmations?
I tell people, don't overthink it. Google it. You know, I had my son, I had him Google. We Googled 100 affirmations. Okay. I told him, pick out 10. Pick out the 10 affirmations that you feel those is cool. We went to Walmart. We bought, a paper hardboard. Okay. We bought some color markers. And then I said, he got his 10. Let's write your 10 down. Right? So he got two. He wrote 5 on one, 5 on the other. And then on the third one, what we did was we sketched out his hand.
Okay.
So on his wall, you got three. You got one with 1 to 5 affirmations, another one with 6 to 10, and then you have this other one with his hand. So after he reads the affirmations, he gives himself a high five. Wow. Right? Yeah, and that's just fun. It's build up. And I tell people, do that as adults. You know, so don't overthink this. Don't get to the point where, oh my God, I got to sit here and think of affirmations. No, you don't. There's a ton of smarter people that's out there than us that already thought about every affirmation that you can think of. And everybody got the internet, even the library. So Google it, write down 10, 15, 20 affirmations. And I say 10 because it's a bite-sized thing. You know, it's not going to take you too long. It's not going to be too much. Right. You know, because look, I'm human, you know, and I'll be like, sometimes, oh, this is too much. I'm not doing this. You know what I mean? And I think 10 is a bite size. Now, there's another thing that I do, which I find extremely valuable. And every person that I told this to finds it extremely valuable as well. Every morning, and I do this, can I be transparent with you?
Please
right
do.
Now?
Please do.
All right. I do this while I'm on the toilet, man. Yeah. In the morning time. And the reason I'm saying this is because that's your quiet time. Right. It's your personal time. It's your uninterrupted time, right?
Right.
I write down 5 reasons why I'm grateful. Now, a minimum of five. Sometimes it's 8. Sometimes it's 15. Sometimes it's 10. But I make sure I write at least 5. And anything. I'm talking about, once again, don't overthink this. I sit here and say, I am grateful that I have heat because it is 29 degrees outside.
Yep. You
know? Yep. I am grateful for my beautiful wife. You know, I am grateful to have a hot meal that I'm going to eat this morning. I am grateful that I was able to take my son to his hockey game. I'm sorry, his soccer game. You know, like, think about, and sometimes some things are repeated. So don't think that, like, look, if you're grateful for heat today and tomorrow, because today it was 29 and tomorrow is going to be, you know, 20, then rewrite it again. Hey, I'm grateful for heat because it's 20 degrees outside.
Yeah.
The whole purpose of it is to say that you show your gratitude. And also what I found out it helps with too is, you know, you're married, right? Mm-hmm. And in marriage, you know, everything is not always peaches and cream. And sometimes us as humans can make a big deal over something that's really, truly not a big deal when you take a look at the whole aspect of everything that's going on. And by being grateful and showing that, I found out that, wow, you know, I'm grateful for so many things my wife do. And that thing that we've been arguing about for the last 3 days really is like 67th on the list.
Yeah.
And what that does is it helps me tremendously change my attitude, change my behavior, right? And I do this for even my son, right? You got kids, you know, kids are can be a thorn in your side, right? Mm-hmm. And what I do, I write reasons why I'm grateful for them. Mm-hmm. And put me right back in light of whatever that issue was. Yes, we're going to address it. Yes, we're going to talk about it, but I'm not where I was. I was damn near kicking you out the house. You know what I mean?
Yep.
You know, and now, but just those, that 5 minutes in the morning.
Yeah.
I'm able to have a healthier relationship with people, my loved ones. I'm able to have a mindset that's showing gratitude for the things that I have, right? I'm grateful for just showing gratitude again for just everything, you know, whatever that list is, just continuously showing gratitude, because you have to appreciate what you have today to get something better tomorrow. And I think a lot of people don't understand that. Oh, I only got this, I got that. Okay. Be grateful for it. I had to tell my son, quick story. He wants a new bike. Now, the bike I bought him, when we bought it, I told him, son, I think we should get this bike. I think I said 27 inches versus 23 or something. No. I want 23. No problem. Your bike. You have to ride it. Now, the bike I purchased for him is a really nice looking bike, looking wise. I mean, this bike looks. Well, all the kids now, obviously their legs are getting longer and they all got newer bikes. So he wants a newer bike. He sends me a text message of the bike. And I'm like, well, until you show me that you're grateful for the bike that you have by going outside and not making it about the bike, you're going outside because you want to ride with your friends on a bike. And if not having what they have is stopping you from bringing your bike out, I'm not buying you a new bike.
That's really good.
I told him that. I'm not buying you, but be grateful for, I said, for one, I hate to say, I said, your bike looked better than everybody's, even with your bike. It just looks better. You just picked out a really gorgeous looking bike. The colors, the scheme, how it flex and all that, you know. I said, and his bike's not like an old bike or anything like that. Because if it was old, then, you know, look, I work hard enough to afford to buy him a bike. You know what I mean? But I can't buy you a bike because everybody else leveled up. You got to show me that you're grateful with the bike that you have. And then if I see you constantly going outside riding your bike, you know, that means that it ain't about the bike. It's about you want to go have some fun. So now daddy got to do his daddy duty. I got to go get you the bike that you want. Why? Because you're grateful, because it's not about the bike.
It's about having fun. That's a great life lesson, man. Yeah. No, that's really good. Let me go back and ask you about networks. Like what would you say to someone again in their, you know, 30s, 40s, family, you know, they're kind of, they have responsibilities and a job. Like how would you say is an effective way to start changing your network of who you're around? If you're like, hey, I am around Chatty Patty and a bunch of people that do nothing but complain, but I'm also working a job and I've got to go home and take care of the kids and help out. Like, how would you recommend that person kind of begin to change their network?
Good question. Hey, look, at the Kids Real Estate and Financial Literacy class, one of the big things I teach are goals. Mm-hmm. Okay. And I teach them for a bunch of reasons, but my goal with them is just for them to understand what a SMART goal means and how to write it. But when you grow up and you write your goals, so the first thing I would sit there and tell that person is, do you have any goals? Hmm. Once you have goals, okay, you start to work within your goals and you start to figure out who are the people that needs to be around you 90% of the time to help your goals come true. And you start to look. And if Chatty Patty is not an individual that is contributing to you exceeding and excelling and getting closer to your goals, then your 90% of talking to Chatty Patty should go down to 10. I'm not saying cut Chatty Patty off, but you got to tell Chatty Patty that, hey, Chatty Patty, I got goals. I'm staying focused, and right now you're not providing the value I need with moving forward. And that's where I start. You got to have some goals. I label it as this. You have a car, right? Mm-hmm. You've been driving for probably a very long time, right?
Very long time. Yes.
Can you tell me how many times you jumped in the car without having the destination?
Not very many. I was really mad as a teenager, but not very many. So, yeah.
Not very many, right? So, you're probably like a billion, maybe like 10 to a billion.
Right.
Something like that. You know, well, guess what? You should have a destination with your life every single day that you wake up. You got to treat yourself like a car. When you jump into that car, you know where you're going. You either taking your kids to McDonald's, you either going to work, you either going to the supermarket, maybe you even going out to hang out with your friends, happy hour or something. Maybe taking your lady or a lady's taking her husband or your spouse to out to eat on a date. You have a destination. Then when you wake up, what are your destination today? When you have that destination in your car, right? And somebody want, if you have to drive to the other side of town because you're going out to dinner with your significant other, but on the other side of town, you got a friend who want to sit here and get picked up. Are you picking them up? The answer is clearly no, you're not.
Right.
Right? That's your car. Should be your life. You should say, hey, here's my goals today. If your friend call you and say, hey, man, you should come out to happy hour, you should look at your goal and say, does happy hour contribute to what I got to get done today? If the answer is no, then you tell that person no. So that right there is where it should all start. You got to have goals, and you got to believe in them, and you got to be disciplined in them. And people going to get mad. You're going to be hurt. You're going to see pictures on Facebook and Instagram where you look like you're missing the party, right? But you got to understand that there's a much bigger mission for you than what is going on.
What about people who struggle to identify what that mission or purpose is? How do you help them narrow that down a bit more?
That's good. Going back to what? Your 100 list. Things. Okay. You know, that 100 things has been life changing.
Okay.
You know, and obviously we evolve, we mature, we get to see more of the world, we get to meet more people, we get to read more books, we, you know, do all these things which open us up to different things that we want out of ourselves in our lives. So things do happen to change. However, at the moment, you know, you have to have something that you're aiming for, you know, and that 100 list, take a week, take how long you need to take. I usually tell people take at least a week at the max, right? I tell them, hey, sit down today, not when you're tired, sit down during a time that you're not tired and start it. You know, get 25 down, get 100 down if you can. Some people do it in one day, you know, but some people are not able to do that. They get stuck. They, you know, so I tell them throughout that 1 week, when you hear things, write it down. Cause you might say, oh, here's three things. Boom, 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 boom. So now, you know, you did three things in the morning, three things in the evening, three things in the afternoon. That's 9 things that you added to the list, all because people talking to people, seeing things maybe on TV, maybe hearing something on the radio, or when you listen to an audio book, or you listen to somebody on YouTube and they said something that sparked a neutron in your brain to sit there and say, oh, you know what? I always kind of sort of wanted that. Boom. That's another thing that's on your list. But you have to get what's in your mind, out of your mind, onto that paper so you can make a visual contact to it with your eyes. And it shoots back to your mind, even though it came from your mind. And then you can start to prioritize, like I said, what's important. And then when you do that, you can sit there and have those goals. So those items becomes goals, becomes your aim. And then you start to put the tools in place to sit there and achieve it. And some of the tools are removing people out your life.
That's really good. I could keep asking you questions for a long time. Anything else you want to talk about? Anything else I should have asked you? Anything that the real podcast host asked you that you want to talk about?
No, I mean, listen, you know, I'm happy that you brought up mindset because it's something I'm passionate about. Yeah. It's something that I personally, like I said, I live a practice life. I practice it. You know, and I tell people that I am a growing man. I a long time ago, I stopped saying I'm a grown man. I'm a growing man because every single day I'm learning and growing.
Right.
You know, so, you know, I'm a different person from last year to this year, all because of some more experiences that I added into my life, some more networking that I've done that gave me a different vision that I wasn't aware of. You know, more in tune to my family and what my son is doing, more in tune to my wife and what she needs from me to sit there and make sure of that. I'm more in tune on the actions that I'm doing. I do something called Reflection Fridays, and I reflect on all the things that I've done during the week, personal, business. And I sit there and I say to myself, what went well? You know, because I want to make sure I'm doubling down in that, right? And then I also think about like the conversations I may have with my son, or maybe a conversation I had with my wife, and both of those conversations went left. And I'm always saying, that's where the accountability word comes in. Well, what could I have said differently that would have kept that conversation a conversation regardless if we agreed to disagree? That makes sense?
Yep.
You know, and I think about those things and I say to myself, if I'm ever put in that position again with my spouse, with my son, with business partner, with my friend, I'm going to approach it this way. And that's how you get better, by, you know, looking over what you have done and seeing that, wow, there's a lot of things I'm doing right, right? And going from there. There's another quote, if you don't mind, I would like to share.
Please do.
Because everything starts with a thought. So it's very important. I mentioned earlier about the ingredients that you feed in yourself. The books, the music you're listening to, the TV shows that you're watching, you know, the radio station. Everything, right? So I'm gonna read this to you. I got it right here. Watch your thoughts. They become words. Watch your words. They become actions. Watch your actions. They become habits. Watch your habits. They become your character. Watch your character. It becomes your destiny. And it all started with a thought. It all falls back on the mindset. So you talk about hope, right? Well, what are you thinking about? What are you feeding yourself, right? Because obviously for you to get to become hopeless, it had to start with a thought. And it ran all the way down to your character and your destiny. So how do you change that? You change your thoughts. Right?
Yeah,
you know,
that's good. That's really good. And I like your concept of the practice. Like, I mean, that I think we hear often talked about, you watch people on social media, you see the people that are successful and you think, boy, it must have been easy, and you miss the 10 years that they worked towards it. But I guess I hadn't really put that equation together about mindset as well, that it really is, it wasn't like you're just going to switch and tomorrow your mindset will be different forever. It's a constantly growing, you have bad days, you know, you have bad moments, just like everyone, but it's how you choose to deal with them and react to them. And the more, you know, we try to talk in our family about habits a lot, and my employees get tired of hearing about habits, but it really is, it's a muscle. Yeah. You just continue to build. That's really good, man. Are you doing coaching now for people? Are you doing mastermind? What else are you offering people?
Yes. So obviously I'm doing the kids real estate and financial literacy academy, which I'm really passionate about. Yep. I also teach real estate. So I teach people short-term rentals and long-term rentals. And I also teach people mindset, right? Because that's everything. You know, truth be told, is I tell people, you shouldn't start anything until you start working on your mind. Because the way I teach my mindset class is this. I look at everything like a house, right? And I compare your house to your personal journey, right? Everybody's house is different and everybody's journey is different, right? So some people want a 2-bedroom house. Some people want a 5-bedroom house, right? You know, some people want 10 bedroom house, 10 bathrooms, right? Yep. And that's different journeys that people have. However, we all share the same thing, regardless to what amount of journey you go through, what amount of bedrooms you want in your house. We all have to have a foundation. So my mindset class teaches all the foundational things for you to build your journey. Because if your foundation is weak, you will get that house up. You will have that 2-bedroom home if you're ambitious. But if your foundation is weak, guess what's going to happen in a matter of time? It will come down.
Yep.
That's what happens when your foundation is weak. So I teach, just like you mentioned earlier, the habits and the goal setting and the mindset, all of those things, all the foundational things that needs to happen. So when you go on your journey to build your house, right, it's going to be nice and strong and you don't have to worry about it coming down.
That's really good. How would people find out more about you, or where would they find out if they wanted to take that with you? What would they need to do?
Cool, man. A couple of things. You can follow me on Instagram, and you can, you know, message me on Instagram, but you just go to Lenny the Boss. That's LennyTheBoss.com/IG. I'm very active on Facebook. So you can go to Lenny the Boss, LennyTheBoss.com/Facebook, or hey, feel free to send me an email, right? Yeah. You can send me an email at LennyTheBoss@JourneyToSuccessBrand.com. Once again, that's LennyTheBoss@JourneyToSuccessBrand.com.
All right. I'll put all those in our show notes. Thanks, man. I met you in person, and I will say, you know, and you came up to me, which I'm embarrassed to admit, but you know, you really were someone, as I think back and listen to you talk today. I mean, you, you just stuck out and I wanted to spend more time with you. And, you know, this is a great excuse to be able to do that. But it is interesting in that maybe 5 or 10 minutes of conversation. And I met other people at that same conference and they were great people, but it was like, there was something about you that made me want to come back to you and be like, hey, I wish I had skipped what we were going to and just hung out with you the rest of the night. But I appreciate you doing this. And this has been a great conversation for me personally. So I hope others find value, but I certainly have. So thanks for doing this, man.
Awesome. Hey, man, I appreciate you. I actually met you and your wife, right?
Yep.
You know, there. And just to let everybody know, hey, man, it was in Maui.
That's right. So, that was very nice. Yeah, it was very nice.
It was in Maui before the fires.
That's right.
You know, and it was a great time. And I met a lot of phenomenal people.
Yep.
Met you. I met your wife. And I just felt that you two were very genuine individuals.
Yep. Yep.
No knock against anybody else. Yep. You know, they might be listening to this. So no knock against you, you know, however, you know, it's just sometimes you just kind of vibe differently with different people. And I had a vibe with you and your wife.
Well, thanks. All right, man. Well, we will, we'll talk again and I will get everything posted and thanks. Appreciate your time.
Awesome. No, thank you. Really appreciate it. Thank you for having me on.
Well, folks, that brings us to the end of this episode. I want to thank you again for joining us and being part of my conversation with Lenny. I'm going to make sure I have his contact information from today's show in the show notes below, so be sure to check them out. And if you found any value in our content, would you help us by spreading the word? And if you could do us a favor and share it with someone else, support from you means the world to all of us, and together we can inspire others to achieve greatness. Now, here's an interesting fact. Nearly 98% of our listeners haven't subscribed yet. Why? I have no idea. It's very simple. Just hit the button. Leave us a comment. Anything like this helps us share and pushes our message out to more people. And if you have questions or if there's any value that I can provide you, feel free to reach out to me. My contact information is also listed below on the notes. Thanks again for tuning in. And of course, remember, we have new podcasts coming out 3 times every week. And we encourage you, don't just be a passive listener, but embrace the work and purpose that you were meant to do and make each day truly amazing. Thank you for listening.
Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen, another episode of The Gentle Art of Crushing It. It was an amazing episode. We know we sure learned a lot, and we hope you did as well. We want to take a second and thank you so much for viewing or listening to this episode. And please just know that we only ask for one favor. And that is to make this life magnificent. Thank you, and have a wonderful day.